Hello, welcome to the Roundhouse Podcast with Paul Sollentrop of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. Wichita State softball coach Christy Breadbenner joins us to talk about spring practices, the upcoming softball season, and the plans to upgrade Wilkins Stadium. The Shockers, they open their season on February 10. They're in the Bobcat Classic in San Marcos, Texas, where they will be in a tournament with Villanova, Texas State, and Kent State over 3 days. Shockers open at home on March 4th with the Black and Yellow Challenge. Let's start with the home schedule, which looks really, really appealing. Stanford, Nebraska, Arkansas, Oklahoma State, Minnesota, Kansas, Oklahoma, all in the non-conference. So, Christy, has it been easier or harder to schedule over the last 4 or 5 years as the Shockers have been going to the NCAA regional, those kind of things?
You know, I really just think it depends on the year. I think the better you are, obviously, the more attention that you get, and maybe the more challenging it can be when it comes to scheduling, because a lot of teams don't want to travel and play at a home field of a really good team. But, I think that we've proven that we can be a good host, and we've got our standard teams that come in, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Kansas. We've been doing a really great job of going back and forth with Nebraska and Arkansas. And I'm just really excited to have Minnesota and Stanford join the schedule this year, two really great teams. And I think, a little bit of luck on one of those. Stanford's playing KU's tournament, so we reached out and asked if they wanted to play a late midweek and on their way to that tournament. So, it's kind of luck. And the challenge that we always face every year when it comes to scheduling isn't necessarily having interest. It's the fact that everybody around us tries to play at home in March as well. KU hosts a couple tournaments, Tulsa, Oklahoma State. And so we're competing against them to try to draw some teams. And I think one of the biggest things that's helped us this year is we were able to give out a little guarantee money. And that's something that hadn't happened in the past. And so that was a big push from the athletic department last year to try to get more home games since we had only had 11. So worked out well. And, in 2024, we're hoping to try to play at home that first weekend in March as well, working something out. And so hopefully from now on, we'll have a few more home games out there.
So you'll be a better host with the new third base dugout. You're a better host when you pay out a little guarantee money, and then other improvements, turf, lights, things like that, that will all help your ability to play more home games earlier in the spring, I guess?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot of people don't realize the weather aspect. I mean, obviously, we've been able to practice outside a little bit here in the month of January and hopefully continue that in the month of February. But I think the biggest thing for us is just getting people to come to Wichita and realizing we've got a great airport. Really easy to get in and out of. And, once one team comes and I feel like they fly in, it's like, oh, you know what? That was really convenient and easy. Let's go back there. And so it's just kind of getting them to take that initial jump, I think, that ends up being the big factor for us.
Okay, I was going to ask about Stanford, and you explained, so they're coming to KU. So that just worked out for them. You were able to reach out, and they were amenable to coming here.
Yeah, I reached out to KU just to ask. I'm always looking for different teams to play midweek-wise, and we had gone to KU's tournament that weekend last year, and I was like, should I look and see who they're hosting? Maybe we should go there. And when she mentioned that Stanford was in the tournament, I reached out to Jessica Allister and just said, hey, would you have any interest? You've got a local kid in LEAC that is, from Andale and get to play in front of her family and a couple other kids from the Midwest area. So the more games, in my opinion, that they can play in front of their parents, the better. And she immediately was like, yeah, let me look and see what flights look like. And, just a good matchup, I think, for them. They're excited. Anytime you can play a postseason team, they're going to want to take advantage of that. And worked out for us, and playing them on Thursday night right before we play Nebraska, and should be a great one.
Yeah, Wichita State and Stanford have played. I went back and looked that up. The last time they played, Wichita State beat Stanford 6-4 out in a tournament in California. Okay, so the Shockers started practice on January 9th. You've got a little bit more than a week until the opener. What do practices look like as you're getting close to first pitch?
Well, a lot of scrimmaging, a lot of live pitching, a lot of excitement. I think the girls are itching to get in front of somebody else and hit off somebody else. And I think the pitchers, more than any, are probably ready to throw to somebody else because they've been throwing against a pretty stacked offensive lineup. And I think when you start looking at how long we've actually been practicing, our season ended in about middle of October last fall. And from that point until we went home for Christmas, we were doing a lot of live, a lot of scrimmaging and things like that. And so we picked that back up, and we do a ton of hitting, and we try to get outside as much as possible to do defense. But I think the most that we can do to prepare is to have our kids throw live and compete against each other. And they've done an awesome job of competing, but I think they're ready and excited to compete against some different teams and see some different pitchers. I know right now we're working into our prep phase where we're really prepping for the opponents that we're going to face, whether it's the batters or whether it's the pitchers that we're going to see. That's what we start breaking down as part of our routine and really, you know, focusing in on certain aspects of the game of what we need to be prepared for. So that's where we're at. And, you know, we've got about 7 practices left, I think, before the first game. And so just every day hoping to get a little bit better.
I'm sure you have general ideas and specific in some cases about the lineup and those kind of things. Is there a position or maybe a position group that you're particularly interested in how that unfolds over these next 7 practices?
Yeah, I think, you know, I wouldn't even say just the next 7 practices. I think for me, there's a lot of changes and fluctuations that are going to happen in the first probably 6 weeks, you know, in that preseason part. We want to make sure by the time we get to conference play that we've got a lineup that we feel confident with, that they feel confident with, and that's going to perform at a high level. And sometimes it takes, you know, some experience and some in-game, you know, performance to figure out where people can play. And I think, you know, there's a couple positions that are obviously pretty solidified. Addie Barnard and Lauren Lucas are going to play in the outfield, and Sid McKinney's going to play short. Laney Brown's going to catch. You know, I think Zoe's going to be in there defensively. Right now, I'd say she's going to play third base, but there's a chance she could play a little bit of first base. I think Sammy Hood's been doing a great job at second. Sierra Hoekstra's behind her and has been swinging it a little bit better. And, you know, so you at the end of the day, you've got to figure out what lineup's going to work best offensively and defensively for you. First base is up in the air. Right field's up in the air. I think quite a few people, you know, after those positions. I think Cam Compton and Caroline Talon are battling out first a little bit more. We've put Lolo there a little bit too. She played first base in high school and in travel ball, and so she does have experience there. And it's just kind of figuring out, you know, does she help? Does she hurt? Does, you know, is she better off just focusing on the offensive side of things? And then you've got Taylor Salacek and Bailey Irvine really competing hard in right field. And Burb's a little behind from the injury, and I think once she's fully caught up, it'll be a really good competition between the two of them because they both bring some really great things to the plate. So we'll use these next, 7 days for sure to try to figure out that first day lineup, but we'll use the next 7 weeks to figure out what that lineup's going to look like that's hopefully going to lead us into conference play.
So is there somebody that you are watching and you're thinking, boy, if this person has a great week of practice or a great few weeks of practice, they could really make making out the lineups much more interesting or challenging that could really become a big discussion point among the coaches?
Yeah, I think Cam, Caroline, Taylor, and Bailey, the four of them and just how they shake out consistently is going to be a big factor in the lineup because I think, you know, Lolo's going to be in the lineup either way. She's just such a great presence, great hitter, great experience. Zoe's going to be in the lineup. Sid's in the lineup. Addie, Lauren, Laney, for sure in the lineup. And then I think Sammy Hood defensively is just so stellar, in my opinion, with her hands, very Kaylee Hecker-like, that maybe you can wear a little bit of her offense. I think her offense is eventually going to be really, really good. It was excellent in high school, but I think, you know, it's just a different game in college, and she's got to get caught up a little bit, but she's going to get a ton of experience to get caught up. But I think that first base and right field position is going to make the lineup very interesting, and I'm okay with that. I think that's good. And you also have Jess Garcia in there. He's got a lot of great experience and has had some really great at-bats and DH opportunities for us who's can play a first base. You've got Kristen Nelson, who defensively is very, very good, doesn't hit as well as she plays defense, and so you might see some sixth inning defensive changes where we're putting in a better defensive lineup to kind of lock the game down than offensive. So we've got to work through all of that kind of stuff. And, you know, this year I feel like we're also faster, you know, just watching our team run the bases a little bit. We've got some options of kids that can get in and pinch run for us and potentially steal some bases and things like that. So there's a lot of different formulas that we could put together for success. We just have to figure out which one's the most competitive. And, you know, sometimes that changes throughout the whole season. And sometimes that can be tough when it is like that. But, you know, at the end of the day, we've got to play to win. And, you know, as much as you like every kid and you want every single one of them to play every game, you unfortunately can't switch kids in and out like that in softball. So we'll figure it out, and I, you know, I hope it's as competitive as it possibly be, because every time those kids step foot on the field, they're getting an experience, and that experience can hopefully lead that down the road to something that's a little bit more solidified.
So I think if you were following Shocker softball recruiting, you knew about Sammy Hood for hitting a ton of home runs. You obviously knew she was also an excellent defensive player as well. That just wasn't as out there on social media like the home runs are.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that there's necessarily a record out there for assists and putouts and things like that that's glorified like the big bombs that she hit. And, you know, she's just smooth. And like I said, I'll go down on record as saying, in my honest opinion, Kaylee Hecker is one of the best defensive players easily that's ever played in the American, in the Missouri Valley. Even when she started, we were in the Valley. Sammy's right there, and I think that's fun to watch. I think with her and Sid up the middle, it's just a really good 1-2 punch. And you know, Sierra Hoekstra is not far behind. We're trying to work on her rigidness a little bit, but she's got a great arm and can cover some range. So the future of that middle infield is pretty good. And but I think right now Sammy's definitely got the edge from a defensive perspective.
So the pitching staff will look new. People will remember Caitlin Bingham and Erin McDonald from last year. Both are departed. Tell us a little bit about the rotation.
Yeah, pitching's going to be, you know, to me, the area that we're going to have to really get after it, and you're going to see a lot of new arms. You've got, you know, Allie coming back with the most innings, and she looks great. You know, she's been throwing a lot of live, and just to me, I think the biggest thing for her is to just kind of stay in the moment. I think sometimes when she gets into trouble, she tries to do a little bit too much, and she's got great spin, great movement, really great athletic presence out there, plays an excellent defensive pitcher. And, you know, I think her experience from last year is going to carry over and really help us. And she's going to have to lead with that experience because it's the most. Kenzie Schofer came back from last year's team, didn't get a ton of innings, you know, and will continue to keep fighting for innings. I think she's improving, you know, and has to continue to keep improving and having good command. But I think the biggest, you know, question mark for us is Lauren Howell and Alex Aguilar. They're two arms that we're going to rely on in a big way, and nobody's really seen them. Alex is a freshman out of the Texas area, played on a great travel ball team for, you know, the Glory and then the Bombers, saw a lot of success, but, you know, she's a freshman, and she's got to realize she's probably going to take a little bit of lumps here and there, and she's not going to get away with some of the things that she probably got away with in travel ball and in high school and things like that. And so she's kind of where Allie was last year, where, you know, you've been able to dominate and do pretty well, but then when you go into the big leagues of Division I softball, you know, you hang a curveball a little bit. You know, you don't get away with it very often. Somebody's going to crush that. And so she's learning that and really trying to figure out her pitches and getting better. And I think the one that to me is can be the difference maker for us is Lauren Howell. You know, she didn't see a ton of innings at Arkansas the last 2 years. She just needed confidence. And, you know, right, wrong, or indifferent, when you're at a, you know, an SEC school, I mean, pitching's obviously at a premium, and they're getting the cream of the crop, and we're able to get some pretty big transfers, and it just depleted her innings and opportunities as in her 2 years. And I think a part of that kind of deflated her confidence. And I think coming in here and knowing that we're going to rely on her a little bit and really kind of getting back into being somebody that we're going to count on, I've seen her progress from fall to spring in a really positive way, and a lot of it just has to do with confidence. I mean, she has some pop in her throw. She's got some good velo, you know, and she's really starting to hit her spots a little bit better. You got Sarah Proberts, who can come in kind of middle relief, keep people off balance with a pretty ugly changeup and a lefty look. And Kenzie just kind of filling in and making sure that, you know, she keeps teams, you know, off balance. So when it comes to the pitchers, it's going to be totally different. But I think there's going to be a lot more responsibility on the coaching staff as well, because we're going to have to decide when's it time to make a good change, who's going to be that change, and, you know, try to be as disruptive as possible to a lineup so that they're not getting the same looks throughout the game very often.
Hi, this is Rick Miuma, president of Wichita State University. Check out the latest episode of the Forward Together podcast. Each episode, I sit down with different guests from Shocker Nation to celebrate the vision and mission of Wichita State University. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Last week, Wichita State announced a facilities master plan for Wilkins Stadium. Lead gifts from Linda Park and Jeannie and Ricky Brotherton for the $7.3 million Phase 1. So, Christy, how do you describe the importance of this project?
Well, I think the importance is just what it says about our program and kind of where we're at in society right now. You know, I think one of the best things about this project is just showing that universities, athletic departments, all across the nation are investing in women's sports, and to see the popularity and the growth of women's athletics, especially softball, which has gained such a large television audience over the last 10, 15 years, and to be a program that's been able to jump on that bandwagon and have success, reap the benefits of something this phenomenal is a true testament to the investment that this university is willing to put in. And you know, Dr. Muma and Darren last year, I think, kind of initiated a lot of the initial talks. And you know, when Kevin Saul got here, obviously brought in some consulting and really understood the need a little bit more. And, you know, now we're moving forward. And I think it speaks to the investment that this university is willing to put into women. I think it's huge for recruiting. I think it's huge for the program. You know, we are a program that now has an expectation of trying to get to the postseason and getting there every year and being at the top of the conference. And when you have those types of expectations, you've got to continue to be able to sell your product and keep up with the Joneses. And so you're seeing, you know, universities across the United States right now investing in women's sports, and Oklahoma obviously announcing a really nice stadium that's well deserved for them, and just seeing all of the improvements, and, you know, Nebraska and KU getting, you know, upgrades, and, you know, just stuff that I think is important to show that, you know, the girls put in the hard work and the effort, and they you know, have so many great accomplishments. It's good to see them getting some of the facility upgrades specific to their sport.
So it's a multi-phase project. The first phase would include, I guess, most prominently locker rooms, team rooms, offices, and an indoor practice facility. Then it would move into more of the stadium, fan amenities, things like that. What jumps out to you as most important in the early phases of this?
Yeah, I think that's going to be one of the most interesting pieces of it. I think when we identified, you know, the true need for the department and for the softball program, we've totally outgrown Wilkins Stadium as far as our office space and team room, locker room goes. You know, that was built in the 90s. At the time, the coaches were probably maybe two coaches and maybe a volunteer. You only had 16 to 18 players on the team. And, you know, softball's changed. I mean, we're going to be adding a fourth coach this next year that's a full-time opportunity. You've got 20 to 22 players pretty typically on a roster now. So when you look at Wilkins, our locker room is too small. Our team room has now become the office space for our director of operations and our graduate managers who come in and do video for us, and then Coach Kahneman and Presley share an office. I have my own and am fortunate to have mine. And, you know, so we've just really outgrown it. And so I think that that's a huge part of it, is getting the girls the space that they need to, you know, be able to feel like it's a space that they want to hang out in, and, you know, in between classes, be able to be comfortable and, get some homework done, and or even just like a classroom setting for us. Anytime we've ever wanted to meet as a team, we have to come over to Coke and meet in the Champions Club. And, you know, so it'll just be awesome, in my opinion, to have some flexibility within a building that's super functional and nice and spacious enough to kind of fit a growing sport. You know, we were fortunate enough to get new cages this past year, and it sounds like the cages are going to get torn down to put the new building. And so my hope is that they actually build the indoor facility first, so that we can address the cage situation before they build the locker room portion. Otherwise, we'll probably go a pretty big chunk without having any cages, just the one that's down the left field line, and that's now been converted to the visitor's bullpen. So, you know, there's going to be some things that we have to juggle and figure out from a timeline perspective, but the first phase is huge, and I think, you know, we share an awesome facility with baseball over at Bombardier, and, you know, but we still have situations where it's raining or it's snowing or it's too cold or, you know, something happens and we need to get inside, and, you know, you have to figure out ways to accommodate both teams, and, you know, you also want your kids to be able to have a space to go in and put in extra work. And so we have to really be creative with scheduling over there at the indoor. And so it'll be nice to have two different indoor facilities, one for each program, and an opportunity for our kids to get in and do what they need to do to be successful on their own.
You mentioned the growing popularity of softball. TV ratings for the College World Series are growing. Wichita State's located right in the hotbed, you know, with the Oklahoma schools, Arkansas, Missouri, a lot of good softball in this area. How does that play into Wichita State's, I guess, ambition and with this stadium?
Yeah, I think it's one of those opportunities for us to really be a little bit more competitive in the Midwest. You know, recruiting's tough. It's a challenge in and of itself. You know, we don't dangle the thing that, you know, it seems in society that's most important, which is that Power Five carrot or that big football carrot. And so we've got to figure out different ways to sell our program. And, you know, as tough it is to say, that's been harder to do as we've gotten better. You would think it would be easier as we've gotten better, but in our minds, we're trying to get better kids and continue to keep elevating, and we're identifying those types of kids, but on a high percentage of time, we'll end up losing them to a Power Five school. And I think seeing the investment that the university is willing to put into softball and getting a kid to come on campus and seeing a stadium and being in a team room and seeing their own indoor facility maybe changes the mindset of that kid a little bit, that, you know what, this could be a good opportunity for me, and they may be investing more. I mean, you look at some of the Power Five schools, especially some of the teams that are leaving our league in the American to go to the Big 12. I mean, right now, we're a little behind facility-wise than them, but with this expansion and the changes, I think it elevates our program to be in front of a program like those.
Other stadiums in the conference, in the American Athletic Conference, I haven't been to. Maybe I've seen a couple of them on basketball road trips. What are they like?
Yeah, South Florida and Houston. I know Houston's leaving the league. South Florida's got a really nice stadium, constantly making upgrades. They share a concourse with their baseball stadium, so their left field line and their right field line for baseball have a double-decker concourse that they share. And so not necessarily the most beneficial, because you can't have a game at the same time because of foul balls on the baseball side. But really nice, great stadium, great stands, press box. I mean, when you compare Wilkins to a lot of the stadiums in our league, there's some things that compare, but like we built our press box on ground level, first mistake, you know, and from a locker room perspective, like South Florida just built a locker room area out there for their softball team. They didn't have it before. And so they kind of built an infrastructure that they could expand out on in phases. And, you know, I think they're probably the nicest. East Carolina's got a very nice stadium. Houston, like I said, probably has the nicest and the most space. They've got locker room space available on both sides of their stadium, great seating, and you know, an indoor facility that's just for softball. But like Memphis's facility needs an upgrade, Tulsa's facility needs an upgrade. UAB has a really nice stadium. I haven't been there, but I've heard a lot of great things about it. North Texas is in the fundraising phase of really upgrading their stadium and have done some really nice things to it. So, you know, in the league, if all this comes to fruition, we'll have the nicest stadium easily in the American Athletic Conference. But even if, you know, phase by phase we continue to add, we'll still be up in the top half of it. But I, you know, like I said, it's exciting. It's something we're really, really looking forward to. And, you know, hopefully it happens sooner than later.
So UAB and North Texas joining the American this summer. So people that want to see the plans can go to GoShockers.com and see the drawings. We all love stadium drawings. How much, and these are, I think people, they're preliminary at this point. This is just kind of early, what we would love to do. How much input does a coaching staff have into these drawings, these plans?
Yeah, you know, the architecture company did a really great job. They know more than I do about creating infrastructure. And, you know, for me, some of the most important pieces of this were the new building with office space and classroom and nutrition and just the girls, you know, giving the girls the space that they needed. So that was important, and we know where that building's going to be. We have a sense of kind of what the layout's going to be, but we really haven't broke that down yet. We'll have quite a bit of influence, I think, on that and on the indoor facility and what's going to make most sense. You know, we were talking about it yesterday, and I think when you look at the drawings, the building will actually go where we just redid the hitting facility area. And so in my head, immediately what I thought about was, well, we better build the indoor before we build the actual office space building, because otherwise we will have one batting cage out there for as long as it takes to make this building happen, which I don't think is going to be a 4-month project, you know. So there's some things that we have to weigh through, but, you know, I have met with the architects and Kevin and Brad Pittman, who's been a big part of this, you know, facility build, Corey Torgerson, who's my sports supervisor, several times, and talk through the things that we think the program needs. And, you know, press box was a big one, you know, and I know that's not in phase one, but just being able with more television, and there's a lot of teams that like to bring radio and things like that. You know, we're placing people outside, and we've got, you know, a packed press box where there's a lot going on and it doesn't have a great view. And so I think that was something that we felt right away was a definite need. But the other piece of it is just expansion, being able to bring in more fans and creating a better fan-friendly experience of, you know, concessions and team store and, you know, places for kids to run. I have kids, so for me, I'm invested and have an invested interest in how can we have little kids out at the stadium and keep them safe and not let them get hit by balls or running around on metal bleachers. And so adding the berms out in the outfield and some different things like that. So I definitely think that, you know, we're the experts at the ball fields that we go and visit and see great ones. And so they've done a really great job of making sure everybody's been a part of the process.
Great insight as always. Thanks for listening to the Roundhouse Podcast, courtesy of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We encourage you to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can always find more Roundhouse content at GoShockers.com.
And they let him pass it up court, and then it gets picked off. A long three by Pangos, no good. 1 second, it's over. It is over, and Wichita State has beaten the number one team in the nation to go to the Sweet 16. Go crazy, Wichita. I know you